appears to be Hashem. Im toy beinichem havu sachari mitzayer b'mashal shashem bikesh mitam sachar ban masha yishmor isam lalbal yecherav habayis. This is just this repetition we learned until now. The idea is the same. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, here is making a demand. He's presenting an ultimatum. If you want me to continue serving you, to protect you, you must pay me. And the payment here is in the form of being observant of the mitzvahs. Ulaval yichlu al yidei ha'ovim, so that you should not be destroyed through your enemies. You want me to protect you.
Can you please raise the volume just a little bit?
Okay. Ritzanu loymar sheratza shiyelohem zuchus sheyamlitz ba'adam etzel Hashem. They need a merit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu over here is the desire here is that Klal Yisrael should have a merit, and the merit is they should be observant. Sheyamlitz ba'adam etzel Hashem. That I guess this would mean. So here, what he's saying over here is that Zechariah is asking Klal Yisrael to be faithful to Hashem, so that he will have an argument to present to Hashem that they are worthy of Hashem continuing to protect them. V'im lo chadalu, v'im lo titnu v'lo yidnu l'chem zuchus. If you do not want to pay the wages, meaning if you don't want to be observant, then tachtelu milhiyos am, you will cease to be Hashem's chosen nation. Vayishkelu es sechori shloshim kosef kvar pershu chazal. She'ein l'cho dor, she'ein boi shloshim tzadikim. There is no such thing as a generation that is not after tzadikim. She'ritzon eloi mat she'atzadikim she'hoyu oz b'neim she'hoyu b'mispar shloshim ho'im moshu nafsham al kidushas Hashem. The Malam over here is introducing a new idea that we did not come across until now. And I don't ever recall hearing such a thing. Is that we're talking about 30 tzaddikim. It means 30 tzaddikim that give up their life to Hashem. That die al kiddush Hashem. That's what it says. Shemoshu nafsham al kiddushas Hashem. In other words,
that makes sense, though.
Why not?
Because everyone who gives up is automatically.
No.
It's not giving up, yeah.
Because the whole point of 30 tzaddikim is Kiev, right?
Correct. No, not necessarily.
And if they're not living, they're not performing.
No, but we don't know how these things work. But people have given up their life to Hashem in their merit. The next generation survives. Look at America. What are the chances? Everyone will tell you, al derech hateva. Everyone knows this. That America, our survival in America, is miraculous. Who's not to say? We don't know anything. That it was in the merit of the Kedoshim, 6 million people who died al Kiddush Hashem, that we have witnessed in this generation, or in the subsequent generations, but already a long time, 75 years, unusual siyata d'shmaya of survival in America. How did this come out? Like everyone knows the Life magazine article in the 40s that Orthodox Jewry is
50s.
In the 50s is on the verge of extinction. And it's only going to be a very short period of time until they will cease to exist in this world, an Orthodox Jew. And today, Klal Yisrael, the Orthodox community, is thriving beyond anyone's wildest expectation. Are you going to say that Life magazine was wrong? Many will tell you they were right.
Hey, that's life.
They, many will tell you that they were correct. Everything said, they, even though ordinarily that the media is dead wrong and it's fake news, but in the 50s, this particular article was on the mark. The chances that we can be here today, learning today in the Young Israel of Midwood, from this beautiful, from learning the words of the Nevi'im Zechariah, the chances are zero. And the fact that we're here today is just nothing more than a siyata d'shmaya. In what merit? In what merit? I don't know. There's some merit. So he's saying over here an idea. This is all conjecture. That it's in the merit of the people who died al Kiddush Hashem. He's presenting here a new idea. When we started this sugya, we mentioned this difficulty, and that we find different numbers presented in different places Chazal regarding how many tzaddikim exist in this world. Rabbi Chol kept on throwing out the number 36. Halichois oilam loy. The ways of the world are loy. Loy is begematria 36. Chazal derived from that passage, there are 36 tzaddikim that exist in the world and whose merit the world.
Exactly, the most well-known.
The most well-known, from the Lamed Vav tzaddikim. But there are other Mamarech, I don't remember all the numbers, there are other Mamarech Chazal, and here we have this number 30, and then we have the number 45, which we suggest is this 15 in Bavel, and there are 30 in Eretz Yisrael, And then there are other numbers. There are three. There are a whole collection of numbers. So we immediately, when we started this, we asked this question, we presented an answer. And the answer is there are different dimensions. There are different types of tzaddikim who perform different functions, whatever that means. And here the Malm is, in fact, giving us a little bit depth into that concept, is that the 30 tzaddikim are not tzaddikim who live. The 30 tzaddikim are tzaddikim who die al-kiddush Hashem. The 36th may be the tzaddikim who live and dive in every day with a meal three times a day and do Torah mitzvahs and are good people, good, solid, honest, Yirei Shemayim. That's the 36 people. But the 30 people over here, the Malm is suggesting, no one said this, he's the only one on the page to say such a thing, is that the 30 tzaddikim are the tzaddikim who give up their life for Hashem. And the other commentators alluded to this. See, they mentioned Hananya, Mishael, Vazaria. They threw themselves in the Kiv Shnoesh. Daniel, the Guvar Royos. Okay, so we do find there is some over here. There's Yeshua Glayim Ladover, what it means to give up your life. Al Kiddush Hashem. They're not going to live, in fact. But in their merit, the next generation endures. The Asara Hadugim Alchus. Let's go further. So this one is a Vier Shadim Shay Bozmeim Shay Bimispar Shloshim Hey Moshu Navsham Al Kiddush Hashem. Vize Nasnu Lashem Lisochar. This is reward. This reward. Will continue to guard his flock. Now, there's a very interesting point difference between the Malbim's understanding and that of Rashi and the Mitzvot and the Radak. According to Rashi, the Mitzvot and the Radak, it appears that the one that made the demand to pay, the ultimatum, the one that presented the ultimatum was Hashem. According to the Radak, that's not really what it says. He's saying that it was Zechariah who was the one who came up with the idea to present an ultimatum to Klal Yisrael that they should give him money, they should be observant, so he can use that merit as a zechus to argue and pray to Hashem that Hashem should be good to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so who exactly is the one that's coming up with the idea, this metaphor of being a shepherd and making a demand that the people should pay the wages? Is it Zechariah or is it Hashem? Malm seems very clear that it was Zechariah who's making the demand, asking for the 30 shkolim, so that he can go back to Hashem and use this as the zechus, as an argument point.
I don't care!
Okay, let me put on mute. All right, let's continue. This is next. Okay, now we come to the Yotzer. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Hashem said, "Take the 30 coins."
I'm just wondering, what is this pasuk that he's quoting?
Which pasuk?
That he makes a reference to Aleph P, Bereishis 30:31. That's
okay.
By Lava, right?
Right. That's by Yah. It's just bar. He's just a phrase.
Yom Kovlo Sitain Li Mitulaki.
Okay, I will continue to guard your sheep. It's just an expression, right? It's an expression. You're saying that you're making a connection between Yaakov and Lavan. Yaakov said to Lavan that we have to make an arrangement. I want to work for myself. I no longer want to work for you. I want to be my own man. And if you will pay him, we'll make an arrangement. Then I will continue to work for another 20 years. All right, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vayomer Hashem Elai, Hashem said to me, Hashlicho Elai Yoitzer, take the money and put the money in the Yoitzer. What does that mean? Yamshilu b'moshlo shitzivu Hashem shichu es hakesav yashlichu l'ha Yoitzer ha-mitzayer, who forms, I'm turning the page, tzura me-ha-kesef o-yisev o-yitzuras matbea. Okay, so we have now a very new interpretation. I tried very hard to convince you, and I was correct, because it's really to some degree what it says in the Radak. Radak really says this, that the Yoitzer is a potter. A person who makes pottery, a human being is an object of pottery. He's made from earth and water, and the potter creates him. It's interesting that the way you create pottery is you turn it, you spin it, you go in circles. A person's life is all about circles. Think about it, you go through cycles. Everything in life is a cycle. You go through the year. It's a cycle. You have children, grandchildren. The process of earning money, spending money, earning money, spending money. Everything in life is a cycle. And it's not for nothing that a man is called, man is created by the Yotzer. Who is the Yotzer? Hashem is the Yotzer, but in Tanakh, Yotzer is a word which refers to a potter. And a potter takes earth and water and maybe some other chemicals to create an object. And what does he do? How does he make it? You can hear me?
See, you can distinguish between the Borei and the Yotzer.
The creator, yeah.
Borei is, that's the Yesh-Mayayin.
The Yesh-Mayayin, and the Yotzer is the formation.
Taking raw material and forming it.
Borei is the creation of raw material. Yotzer is the formation. After this, the raw material, you create, you mold an object. So Hashem is called the Yotzer, but until we learn in the Radak, the Yotzer is a potter. And a man indeed has the same elements as pottery in many, many dimensions. Number one, the ingredients. Number two, the principle of cycles. Because pottery is made through, everyone knows, you see pottery, you put something on a wheel and you spin it. And as you spin it, you form it. Man is a work in progress. Man starts, it's a 120-year work in progress. And that work in progress involves a continuous cycle. Cycles in life in every dimension. Day, night, summer, spring, winter, fall. Earning money, making money, life, death. Everything is in cycles. And what else? Heat. How do you finish the product? You put the product in the oven. Yesurim. If no pain, no gain. This world is not a very comfortable place. There's global warming. It's hot. It's hot outside. It's hot. We live in a world where there's a lot of pain, a lot of suffering. And although no one wants it and no one should have any of it, unfortunately, but in hindsight, there's not a person that will not tell you that the suffering that came upon him without his choice is something which he grew from. More often than not, people grow and they develop from the difficult situations in life. It gives them the ability to learn and develop and become different people. So all of the elements that are present in making pottery are present in a human being. There is earth and water. There is cycles. There is heat. It's a process. It's a 120-year process. Now that's the Radak really, he very, in a few words, he said this. He said everything I told you in a few words yesterday. That was not his primary interpretation. His primary interpretation was like Rashi and the Mitzudos, which I find to be very, 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 very for. I mean, who am I to say that? But it's a little bit forced. And they take the word Yotzer, and we turn the word Yotzer into the word Otsar. Otsar is a treasure house, a deposit,
a treasury.
You put the money in the bank. You go to the bank and you put in a fund, an endowment fund, and a CD, whatever you put in. You put it away for safe keeping. Leman yamdu yomim rabim, in the merit of these tzaddikim, these thirty coins. It's an investment. It's an investment. You invest in some good stock, in a good commodity, and the time will come when it will blossom and flourish, and you'll reap very good returns. Now we have a new interpretation. Now, according to the Malbim, none of the above. None of the above. It's not going to be called the Otsar, and it's not going to be the Yotzer, the potter. It's going to be a silversmith. A silversmith. A whole different interpretation. What does a silversmith do? You give the silversmith silver coins. He melts it down. This was before Nixon. Before Nixon came along and completely he separated the value of the dollar from commodities, from gold. Okay, the dollar is no longer based on gold. He wasn't the first one. Roosevelt, Parsha, I read about this a little bit more. It was not only Nixon, it was Roosevelt that really started the process. Nixon finished it. Nixon put the nail in the coffin. Where the dollar is not based on, but it used to be. Is there any country today? I don't know. Is there any country today in the world where value is based on commodity? Is there such a thing today in the world anywhere? I have no idea.
They all have gold in the Federal Reserve that they keep on exchanging.
Right, but that's not the whole story. The Federal Reserve, if we had to pay out gold, then we'll be bankrupt. There'll be a massive depression. We'll be finished. It's not just the gold, it's the word.
What about Bitcoin?
We spoke about the Bitcoin is an amazing cyber currency, is an amazing it's an amazing concept which we spoke about that at length, that we're the decentralization of money currency is all based on trust. Emunah. The Chofetz Chaim writes about it. The Chofetz Chaim talks about the Great Depression. He writes the reason why the Great Depression, today no one can say such a thing, only Chofetz Chaim can talk like this. And he says the reason why the Great Depression occurred was because it was Hashem's way of saying to the world that I know you have no longer faith in me. Chofetz Chaim writes in his lifetime he saw a steep, steep decline in man, in humanity's faith in God. Forget about Jews, talking about the world, the Goyim. Goyim were religious. They had a belief, an acknowledgement that there is a God. And in his lifetime, he said there was a steep decline. They no longer had faith in God. And Hashem says,
then, a century later, what that decline is.
It's correct. But he said that the economy, the most essential in economics, 101, the first principle of a healthy economy is trust. Why does it say on the Bible, in God we trust? Why does it say that? Because what is the most essential, people who are religious, an economy, what is a dollar? Trust. I trust you. I give you a dollar bill, and there is trust that this piece of paper represents value. It corresponds to gold, silver stored away in some Fort Knox, whatever it is. There is an element of trust. An economy cannot exist without trust. The founding fathers of this country were very religious people. And when they acknowledged that the most elementary ingredient in a healthy economy is trust, they were incredible in stating on a dollar bill that this trust that man has to another man is just a muscle. Is a muscle to the trust that man has in God. You know, that's like a morale. It's a morale. It's an incredible thing. Okay, that concept, who's not to say that the blessing of America doesn't come from such a concept. Like a morale. Every dollar bill is a morale. Has a very deep concept. An economy, 101 economics, trust. And the Goyim said, this is a muscle. It's just a muscle for God we trust.
That's why in unbelievable. Time they were trying to turn lead into gold.
Well, there's always a Meshuggah out there. But trust, it's an incredible thing. There's no.
Turn into gold.
You never ever saw on a credit card, never in God we trust. Never. Bitcoins, there's nowhere, anywhere that on. Like, Bitcoins is not even a real. There are no real. I mean, everyone has their symbols. They have all of the cryptocurrency, all of the tokens. All of the you can make your own cryptocurrency. All of the tokens with all of their very complicated symbols and artwork, I've never ever seen a symbol from cryptocurrency that's any mention of God in it. Nothing. Zero. God has disappeared from the credit cards, never existed, doesn't exist in the world of cryptocurrency. There is no God, nothing. The dollar bill, soon it's just a matter of time until they're gonna do away with currency. In other countries they've done so. Other countries they've done away. They've done away with paper. Everything is electronic. And in the electronic world, no one is interested in reminding that money, which needs trust, is just a mashal, a dogma for the emunah that man has to have in Hashem. The Chofetz Chaim writes that when Hashem brought depression into the world, economic depression, which basically means that man does not trust another man. If I give you a dollar bill, it's worthless. It's toilet paper. If even that's very valuable to me, toilet paper. But it's worthless. It's worthless. Mida keneged mida. You do not trust me. So I'm going to bring it about that man does not trust one another. I didn't say this. Chofetz Chaim says this. Okay, so going back over here, we're going to our story where Zechariah, he says to Klal Yisrael, I want 30 coins. I want 30 coins. And now in the Mashal, he takes the silver and he brings the silver to a silversmith. That's the Yotzer. I'm on page 824. And the Malbum, the Gei Chizayon L'Hamalbum, Tzura HaKesef, Yotzer Tzuras Madbeya, to make an image on the coin. Minted coin, the Kamta V'Lis L'Makam, the Tzarta HaKesef B'Yadacha. Tzarta, a coin, is a slug, is a piece of metal, and then there is minted currency with an image. Hainu sheyitzayeres hashloshim kesef shem shloshim tzadikim shenergual kedusha shemo. You shall form the 30 coins. The 30, which represent the 30 tzadikim, who died. Okay, makes it very, very clear, the Malm in his interpretation, that the 30 tzadikim are tzadikim who perished, who died al kiddush Hashem, shetzudasam yechakukul lefnei chisei chavod, their image shall be etched before your kisei hakavod, ki hu eder hayukar, shemin nefashois eile haneherogois, from these, wait, when is the Yom HaShoah?
Today?
Yeah. So it's unbelievable learning this, Hashkach, you're learning this today? Okay, even though Yom HaShoah is not... Shemin, even though we have to, you know, be very careful, the Gedolei Yisrael are not big fans. They were not big fans of Yom HaShoah. Shemin nefashos eile hanerogos, from these neshamos hanerogos, v'chesef hakosef hazeh, and this silver, yaseh Hashem, Hashem will make aderes yikar, okay, a splendor, a beautiful, so let's read what it means over here, I'm not sure what it means over here, asher yokarti me'alehem, shelokachti hayikar hazeh me'alehem, he's learning, I have taken this yokar from you. Let's go for ki yokar be'ini Hashem ha'mavsalach hasidav. V'lokach yikras nafshoy sehem. Hashem took the preciousness of their neshamas. V'yislabish bam levush tif'ara. Okay, so he's saying over here some very mystical things. Let's take a step back. He's saying over here is that these 30 tzaddikim, their image, okay, this all like heavy-duty Kabbalah. But what he's saying here is that we know that I could on Hashem's kisei hakavod are etched the image of certain things, and one of them is the image of Yaakov Avinu. Now, what does that mean? I have no idea. I don't think anyone knows what this means. But there is such a principle. There is such a principle that it is presented. The image of tzaddikim are presented continuously before the presence of Hashem to serve as a reminder and a merit that Hashem should have pity upon his people. And that's what he's saying over here, the Malbim. Hashem, Zechariah is coming to tell Klal Yisrael, you are in great danger and you need merit. And I'm calling for 30 good men to give up their lives. Okay, this is all really very bizarre. The 30 tzaddikim who are going to give up their lives al kiddush Hashem. And 30 men came forward, whatever this means, and they were meiser nefesh for Hashem. By them giving up their lives to Hashem, it's as if Zechariah is taking these neshamos, which we're calling like slugs of silver, and presenting it to a craftsman in Shemayim, who then takes their neshamos and molds them in their image, the image that they appeared in their lifetime, and presents it before Hashem continuously to be a merit for Klal Yisrael. So he's saying here, Eder HaYukar means the neshamos of the Jewish people. Until now, we learned, according to basically all the commentators, according to Rashi, the Mitzvah, the Radak, Eder HaYukar is an expression referring to the Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. The Beis HaMikdash is an Eder HaYukar. Yukar means precious. Eder means splendor. A precious object that is filled with splendor. It's an expression describing the Beis HaMikdash. And it says now in the merit, according to all the other commentators, what do the pasuk mean? That in the merit of these tzaddikim, Hashem and Meridi Sadikim, it will now be rebuilt. It's an investment for the return of the Eder Hayikar, and we'll translate the next words now according to the Radak that we learned yesterday, Asher Yokarti Me'alehem, which I honored myself from by removing myself before you. As we explained yesterday, that a dignified person does not appreciate being in the presence of lowly people. It's not an honor for a dignified person to sit on the subway in between, someone, an illegal immigrant from Mexico and a spy from China. Okay, it's not a dignified thing. It's not a dignified thing for a very chashuv person to sit in between these two people in the subway, and he should be looking at a Russian spy as well, right in front of his eyes, holding onto the pole. It's not a dignified thing. It's much more dignified for a chashuv person to go in a limousine, to go, and they stop all the traffic, have an entourage. When the president comes to a location, there's gridlock alert, except for him. He doesn't have gridlock. He gets to go where he wants to go. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, it wasn't an honor for me to be with you. So therefore, I removed myself. I honored myself by separating myself, me'aleichem, from upon you. Now the time has come when I view it, that it's an honor to be in your presence, and I will thus return. I will return the Beis HaMikdash, which means my divine presence, to be with you. That is the way the Radak learned the Pasuk yesterday. But today we're learning according to the Malbim. And he is suggesting the word Eder Hayikar means the neshamas of the tzaddikim. The neshama of a tzaddik is called an Eder Hayikar. Why is it called Eder Hayikar and Neshama Tzaddik? Because it says in the Pasuk, Yokar Be'enei Hashem Hamavisa Lachasidav. And what does that mean? Yokar Be'enei Hashem Hamavisa Lachasidav. I'll tell you a story. I remember this. I remember very little from ninth grade, but this I remember. We had a class, the full class, and the Rebbe used to, we learned this is in Bava Basra, and the Rebbe used to question, what does it mean? What does that Pasuk mean? What does it mean in the Pasuk when it says, Yokar be'enei Hashem hamavsa lachasid. So a boy raised his hand, and he said to the Rebbe, it means that Hashem, it's precious. Hashem, he yearns. It's a treasure when a tzaddik dies, so the tzaddik can come be with Hashem. Hashem, he wants to fabring with the tzaddikim. So it's yokar, it's precious. In the eyes of Hashem, when the chassidim, hamavsa lachassidav, when the pious people die, so they can come to Hashem's court, and Hashem can fabreng with his tzaddikim, with his chassidim. So the Rebbe, his eyes popped out, and he says, that sounds like a real chassidish of art. This is the ninth grade. He says, wow, what a pshat for a boy in ninth grade to say, pshat in the pasuk. That's what the pasuk means. All right, he says, I don't know, but that's a very heavy, heavy chassidish of art. The pasuk shah in the pasuk is, it is painful. Just the opposite. Hashem, in the worst way, wants a pious person to die. Yokar means it's heavy. It's an expression. It is painful. It is difficult. It is overwhelming in the eyes of Hashem that Hamavisa, that there should be death lachasida for his pious ones. Hashem does not want that to happen. It's Yokar. The Malbim here is not coming to learn the Pasuk Pshudishol Mikra. He's coming to borrow from the word. The fact that the word says Yokar in the context of Hamovisa la chassidav, in the context of chassidav, pious people leaving this world, the Malbim thus explains the word the this pasuk, Eder Hayikar, the splendor of the tzaddikim who have given up their life to Hashem. This is a term to define kedushin. You see, today is Yom HaShoah. What?
Kovai Ekavet.
What?
From the parasha. Kovai Ekavet.
Ekavet.
Shmini Aharon.
From this week's parasha, Parasha Shmini. Hu Asher Diber. Hu Asher Diber Hashem.
Ekodesh.
Hu Asher Diber Hashem. Bikrovai Ekodesh. Through my Bikrovai, the ones that are close to me, I will be sanctified. Rashi there says, Moshe said to Aaron that the Beis HaMikdash needed to be sanctified through the death of Tzaddikim. Savor HaYisi. I thought it would be me and you. But look, Nadav Yavir are even greater than us. These are the words of Nechama that Moshe said to Aaron, that your two sons, Nadav Aviu, they are even greater than us. And it's only in their merit did the Beis HaMikdash, did the Mishkan, was it inaugurated, did it become sanctified. Now, that's all, to me, that's all like way out Kabbalah. And I think to everyone, that we don't have any understanding of what that means, impossible. Okay, but we have to have emunah what it says. You see, I'm not from a camp. I wasn't raised in a camp where we observe Yom HaShoah. Not that we don't have the ultimate respect. Kedoshim, Kedoshim. My whole family was wiped out. I mean, come on, my whole family. The fact that I'm alive is miraculous in many, many ways. Believe me, I'm not the last person to chashal to but in the Haredi world, whatever they focus. They have other days that they give focus to the Kedoshim, and it's a fascinating coincidence that today is Yom HaShoah. Today, many people in the world, they stop to commemorate the Kedoshim, and we're learning over here an incredible thing. Over here, we're learning today the Hashkacha Pratis, we're learning about Kedoshim. According to the Malbim, people who dial Kiddush Hashem, and he's giving a term. He's coming to say a word that's really off the charts. And he's saying that the term to define a Kedosh is Eder Hayikar. The splendor of these individuals who are called Yakar. And what is Yakar? Yakar is borrowed from the Pasuk, Yakar Be'enei Hashem Hamavisolach Hasidav. It captures quite a bit. Hashem didn't want this to happen. Hashem didn't want there to be a Churban and Tzaddikim should die. It's Yakar Be'enei Hashem. It's painful in the eyes of Hashem that there should be Hamavisolach death. Lachasidav. Why then did it happen? No one knows. No one can possibly understand. But it is still Eder, a splendorous, a glorious acknowledgement of appreciating the greatness of a person who dies to sanctify Hashem's name, who died al kiddush Hashem, the Eder Hayikar. That's how we learn. It's an incredible term. Let's read the words of one more time. This is a very powerful Malbim. It's Kedai to, you know, all the secrets, all these incredible things you find in Nach. We go a little more time on those words of the Malbim. Okay, it's on page 824. The word he's giving over here, he's saying, here's the 30 silver coins, and I want you to take the 30 silver coins, which means the 30 tzaddikim. I want you, the craftsman, the yoitzer, the silversmith, not a potter, not a treasurer, a silversmith, to take these coins and melt them down and produce the image of these people in a form that will be before Hashem continuously. Make a coin out of it. What's a mabea? An image. What do you put on coins? Images. I want you to design with the 30 coins, which represent Shehem Shleishim, the 30 tzaddikim, Shenehergu, who died, Al Kedusha Shemo, Shetsurasam, so that their image, the silversmith will form their image, Yiyechakuka will be etched lifnei kisei chivoidai. Ki hu eder hayukar. What does that mean? Because it, what's who? Let's be very precise. Is the eder hayukar shemin nefashois eile. From these nefashois haneherogois that were murdered, the chesef hakosef hazeh, and this money that is being paid to represent, which is symbolic of these 30 tzaddikim, Yaseloi Hashem, Hashem will make an aderes yikar, will make an aderes, will make a splendorous image. It's not the Beis Hamikdash. There's going to be some type of ornament in heaven that represents, captures these people. Asher yokarti me'alehem. What's with yokar? Which Hashem took the lives. Hashem accepted the neshamas of these tzaddikim. Shelakachti hayokar hazeh me'alehem. Ki yokar, based on the pasuk, ki yokar be'enei Hashem hamavisalach hasidav. V'lokach yikras nafshe sehem. Hashem took these neshamas. And Hashem kaviyachol, whatever this means, he dressed himself. He was nislabesh in these neshamas. Vayislabesh bam luvush tif'ara. Period. That's what he did. And then the pasuk includes v'ashlich oitzer beis Hashem al yitzer. Hashem told him what to do. He did it. He took the coins. He threw into the beis al yitzer. Heshlech es hakesef hazeh lebeis Hashem ki lebeis Hashem ki bezchus zeh niskayem habayis v'lenechna b'mei antiyochus shezeh hoye bezchus hakadoshim shemoshu nafshem l'chvod Hashem v'hayoitzer the craftsman the silversmith tzar tzuda mimenu. Shetzuras hakidoshim hoyu la Hashem la deres yikar. It was for Hashem a glorious ornament, umaate, and a cloak, a garment of tehillah of praise which Hashem dressed in. The neshamos of these tzaddikim who died al kiddush Hashem was for Hashem an ornament and a garment which he dressed in. And in that merit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, according to the Malbim, that merit HaKadosh Baruch Hu preserved the Beis HaMikdash in the time of Antiochus, in the time of Chanukah. So he's saying incredible, the Malbim is saying incredible stuff. He's saying the only reason why the Beis HaMikdash lasted as long as it did in the time of Chanukah and was not destroyed was in the Zuchus of the 30 Tzaddikim who died Al Kiddush Hashem. Okay, this very much fits in this week's parashah, like you said, like Rav Kalman said, Hu asher diber Hashem b'kroi v'ekodesh. The only reason why the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, was sanctified and became operational was because of the death of the tzaddikim. Okay, and Moshe, that was in the Nechom, and Moshe says that it would be me or you, but it was not of Aviv. Why does it have to be like this? I have no idea. Why does it have to be such a thing that there has to be Bikrava Ekodesh in order that there be the Hashra Sashrina?
It says that Mitat Sadikim Mechaperet al Avonot. Mavet Shel Chassidim Mechaperet al
It's Mechaper. The Mis of Sadik was Mechaper. But why does it have to be like that? Why can't there be Kapara? We have Korbanos. We have Teshuva. Why does it have to come in such a painful way? Why? I have no idea. But that's what it says. And there's a parallel between this week's parasha and he's saying the incredible chiddush is why the bias endured during this very difficult time. Okay, that's the Ma'am. Now let's see over here. Let's see the Mamar Chazal. Okay, the Mamar Chazal going back on page 822. 822 Pasuk Yubeis. Vayishkelu. And he took my Sechari. Shloishim kosef. Vo ech re li bachamisha osar kosef. Okay, this was I dug for myself with 15 silver coins. Pasuk in Hosea. Hosea says that I went and I dug. I dug a grave with 15 gold. What does that mean? What does those words mean? Omar Rabbi Yochanan b'shem ben Yod Tzadok. Ein kira el lashon mechira. The word vo ek reha, okay, it means doesn't here mean only to dig, it means to purchase. How do you know it means to purchase? Because it says by it says By Avraham Avinu, he purchased the Ma'aris Machpelah. It says, "Bekivri Asher Korisili," the grave which I purchased. Okay, so therefore, shares I purchased. I'm sorry, Yaakov says, "I purchased Asher Korisili," that Yaakov Avinu. He said that he should be buried in the grave, I guess, the Maris Machpelah. And there it means I purchased. What do you mean he purchased? Avraham Avinu, maybe it means that he purchased from Esav. Esav was the Bechor. Esav was the one who really had first rights to be buried in the Maris Machpelah. Yaakov Avinu, he paid him off. He paid him that I have your burial spot. And now it's the whole story with Serach Bas Osher. When Yaakov Avinu died, they came there to Maris Machpelah. Esav was there, and Esav says, "You're not going in. No, it's my burial spot." So they said, "What are you talking about? You liar, you cheater. You sold it. Everyone knows you sold the Maris Machpelah, your right, your burial spot to Yaakov." So he said, "No, I didn't." So what happened? They had to go back and get the deed. Where was the deed? The deed was back in Mitzrayim. Who did they send? Hushim Ben Dan. He was an Olympic. He won the Olympics. Gold medalist for the Israelis. Gold medalist. He ran all the way back to Egypt.
No. Hushim Ben Dan didn't run. It was Naftali.
I'm sorry. Naftali Ayala Shalucha.
Hushim Ben Dan was the one who didn't hear
it. Right. Now he murdered. Right. So I made a mistake. Correct. Yeah. So they sent Naftali. Naftali Ayala Shalucha. Naftali was quick. He went back, he started running back. In the meantime, when he was running back, Chusha Ben Dan said, "Well, there's a commotion. What's going on over here? How come the Zayde? They're not burying the Zayde. What's going on over here?" So they said, "Well, Esav is holding up the show." "What?" So we went over to Esav, he took out a sword and chopped off his head on the spot. Bold, very bold man, Chusha Ben Dan. And that was in Skayim, what it said, when Rivka says, "Lama eshkal shneichem b'yayim echad." And that day, both of Rivka's sons died. Yaakov died, and Esav's head. And because Esav's head died, it was chopped off, they buried it. They buried his head in the vicinity. If you go there to Maris Machpelah, they have this round tube, and they write, "This is where the head of Esav is buried." If you believe that, then I don't know what to say. If you really believe that where they show you this round thing, that's where the head of Esav is buried, I don't know. That's very, really, you really know that's where his head is buried? I mean, we know that in the vicinity, we don't even know where the Avos are buried. There are caves all the way deep, deep down there. We have no clue where the Avos are. It's somewhere in the vicinity. Somewhere there, in Ma'aris Machpelah, in Chevron, is where the Avos are buried. To say that we know with precision where they're buried, it's a little bit stretched. And Ad Kedei Kach, we even know where his head is buried? Okay, there's a tradition. You want to say this is a tradition? In Kabbalah, he Mekabel. It is a little bit hard to accept. But in any event, his head is buried there. And Yaakov, they did not even need to get the deed because they were able to put him to rest. Now, does that mean that Yaakov and Naftali was not present by the burial? Is that what it means? Does that mean that Naftali was in the meantime going back to Egypt to get the shtar, does that then mean he was not present at the time of burial? What will be the nafkamina? I don't know, but they say that it's a very big inyan to be present at the kavur of a tzaddik. When the tzaddik is buried, there's a certain sanctity that comes, it passes on, the sanctity of the tzaddik. The sanctity of the tzaddik is transferred to those living. So that would mean that Naftali did not have that darga, did not have that extra special level. You know, there's something called Ibor. You ever hear about this concept? I told this recently to a big Lubavitch shliach, one of the biggest Lubavitch shluchim I met recently, very recently, and I met him on Pesach. And I was just talking to him. And I don't know why we got into this discussion called Ibur Neshama. And I told him, the Rebbe, he did Ibur Neshama. And he looks at me, he doesn't know what I'm talking about. And I can't believe I'm telling this to a shliach, one of the Rebbe's shluchim. What's Ibud Neshama? Everyone here knows what Gilgul Neshama is. Gilgul Neshama is when a person leaves this world and then he comes back. Kabbalistic principle, he comes back into this world in the form of another body, new parents, new everything, in order to rectify some element in his neshama that needs tikkun. Then there's a principle called Ibur Neshama, where you don't die, but you bring the neshama of another tzaddik in the other world into you. Sounds really spooky, right? Hocus pocus?
Yeah.
Okay, Ibur Neshama, Ibur means pregnancy. You bring the neshama of another, or a nitzitz, a spark of a neshama of someone else into you. Supposedly, very, very good sources told me that the Rebbe, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zuchuso Yogin Aleinu, he did this by his shver, by the Riatz. He would lie down on his kever. Everyone knows that the Rebbe would lie down on the matseva of the Riatz. Why? What was he doing? Why are you lying down? He was doing Ibur Neshama. He was trying to take a spark of the Riatz into his Neshama. So that when he would proceed and lead the Jewish people, he would lead them with a spark of the Neshama of the Riatz, of the Messiah. Kol Dodi Doifek. The voice of my beloved is knocking. The last drasha of the Riatz, before he passed away, was Shir HaShirim, Koil Dodi Dofek. What was the Rebbe's first sicha? Koil Dodi Dofek. He was Mamshech, the Avoida of his Shver, the Riatz. And he did Ibur Neshama. So that's a very, very, very mystical thing. I wouldn't try that at home, Rabbi Yossi. I wouldn't try that.
If it succeeds, let me know.
Okay, but this is what it says over here. So I'm just saying over here is that Naphtali, all of Yaakov Avinu's children, I'm assuming, were present when Yaakov Avinu died. When a tzaddik dies, he doesn't die. Part of his neshama goes into his descendants. And that happens, so to speak, at the time of burial. Naphtali wasn't there. That is the assumption. Maybe I'm wrong. And that means Naphtali was missing on that parat. How do we find that in generations later, the shevet of Naphtali being different than the other shvatim in lacking? Do we see an echo of in Jewish history of the shevet of Naphtali being different than the other shvatim in this respect? I don't know the answer to that. I have no clue. But it's something to think about. All right, let's go further. That's our Shiur on Kabbalah today. Mm.